Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause this heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning, you are going to hear a message on a simple but yet sophisticated principle found in the Word of God. My sermon is entitled Unity in Plurality, Plurality in Unity. Unity means one or singular, whereas plurality means many or more than one. The Trinity of God is one of many perfect examples of this principle throughout the Scriptures. There are three distinctly different persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet we believe in one God, three in one. This is an enigma or mystery of the divine being of God found in the Holy Scriptures. By understanding and embracing this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity, it significantly broadens our horizon in the interpretation of the Word of God. My message this morning could also be subtitled The Twofoldness of Divine Truth. The simplicity with yet the complexity of the Word of God only strengthens our resolve that the Holy Bible is divinely inspired or spoken. The Holy Spirit teaches us through the Apostle Peter, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. One perfect example of the twofoldness of divine truth is found in the formation of the woman from the rib of Adam, and then God rejoins them together to become one flesh in holy matrimony. And then, through procreation, they have offspring that are a DNA replica of mom and dad. Yet they have their own individual identity, unique from their mother and father. This, again, is one of many examples that helps us broaden our understanding and interpretation of the Word of God. Many prophecies in Scriptures have a twofoldness, both a near prophecy and a far prophecy. Or, for example, one prophecy in Scripture will picture both advents of the Lord, His first coming and His second coming. God embeds His principles in the physical world, or sometimes I like to describe it as God stamps His divine truth into His physical creation. In Genesis 1:1, God says, "In the beginning," meaning God created time and He stamped His signature of the Trinity into it with the past, present, and future division of time. Well, the same can be said of the twofoldness of divine truth. Every atom of the physical world is either paired with another atom of the same element, or it is found in a chemical bond with a different atom to form a compound. No atom appears in nature singularly. Let me give you one other example. The New Testament speaks of gifts and prizes or rewards. The importance of rightly dividing the word of truth is rightly dividing passages that speak to gifts such as our eternal salvation versus passages that speak to the call of believers to strive to attain the prize, which is ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in His millennial kingdom here on this earth. That is why we say on the Crown of Life Baptist Church website and on this radio program, God is calling sinners to the cross, and God is calling believers to the crown. We have to rightly divide what passages are speaking to what proposition. Enjoy the almost unlimited parallels found in the Word of God pertaining to this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity. If you missed an episode of this program or would like to re-review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel and please hit the subscribe button. Unity in plurality, plurality in unity, part 10.
All the eyes of heaven and all the eyes of the world are on Jerusalem, on Israel. And, there's a feather in the cap of these presidents who try to draw peace and sign peace agreements in the Middle East and get the Palestinians and Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq and other countries to have some kind of peace agreement with Israel. That has been going on almost my whole lifetime, as long as I've lived. And you too. As long as we've lived, they've tried to bring peace in that region. And so the focus will be on Israel. So if you don't understand that, I understand. Give me a call and I'll help you walk through it again, because I'm trying my best to piece it together, but I understand, because it's taken me a long time and to really understand it. and digest it and get it processed in my mind. The more familiar Great Tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel 9, that's Daniel chapter 9, is still future. It will be great in intensity, but short in duration. Now, you read through the book of Revelation and you read about the seven seals and the seven vials and the seven trumpets and the woes and all these things that are going to take place on the earth. It's going to be a hard time. Now, the believers during that time, they may not see the curses that God brings on the earth, but they're going to see the curse of man upon them. They're going to be beheaded for not taking the mark of the beast. That's what Bill Gates, that's building up to. Monopolize the control of food and things you need, the necessities of life, monopolize that. And then they're going to tell you, you better get a vaccine. Or they're going to tell you, you better take that mark. Or they're going to tell you, sacrifice your firstborn, or you're not going to get any food. You're not going to get any toilet paper. Stock up now. So that's what monopolized the control of the production of food, and they're going to be beheaded. They can't buy or sell unless they take the mark of the beast. And so that's what this whole thing, that's what Bill Gates is, he's building towards that. Is he the Antichrist? I can't say, but he's a type of Antichrist. He's a type of Antichrist. He's one of many Antichrists in the world. If you don't think there are people who hate the Lord Jesus Christ, they despise him. They hate him with all their being, just as much as you love him, there's those who despise and hate him. And they hate you because you love him. So there's a great tribulation, says Matthew 24, for then shall be great tribulation, shall as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. There's going to be this tribulation. It's going to be worse than the Holocaust. It's going to be worse than the killing fields. It's going to be worse than the slaughter of the Russians by the communists. It's going to be worse. But this event will bring in Israel's salvation. It's sad that it takes that, but now there are Jews who are coming to Christ, but there are few in numbers compared to the size of Israel and the population of Israel. But there are Jews who come to Christ. They embrace Jesus as their Savior. I love hearing those testimonies of a Jewish person coming to Christ. The Lord assures us that our travail now will turn to joy in the future day of rest. Now, we read part of this verse at the beginning of this lesson. Now, I've added two more verses to it, I believe. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So that travail, that tribulation, we're going to go through sufferings. And that suffering, as I said at the beginning of the lesson, brings reform, brings repentance, brings change in our lives. There were four, but then ultimately it brings reward. And I don't remember the fourth point, but it brings reward. Revival, thank you. It brings a personal revival in our own lives. There is a pain in birthing anything great for the Lord, because the world, the devil, and the flesh stand in total opposition to the divine work of God on this terrestrial globe. You not only have one enemy, you have three. Three enemies. Your flesh, that's the old man that's supposed to die. It sometimes wants to resurrect its ugly head in our lives. Got to push it back down into the grave. You have the devil, and you have the world around us. Sin City, Las Vegas. Okay. New Orleans, especially during Mardi Gras. And so forth. The world around us. And so we're in total opposition. You think we're going to conclude? Hopefully. The church's mission is the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Christ uttered those words again. You're on page 7 of your notes. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Bible, or a quote here from David Saxton, professor of Bible and church history at Maranatha Baptist University, made this quote, this statement: disciples of Jesus Christ are acutely conscious of their inability to replicate themselves. Like I said, you start talking about Christ to your old friends, and they're going to diss you. They're going to just tell you, we don't want you around. We're not going to invite you to our social events. It is not a natural process. A miracle is necessary every time another person embraces Christ in repentant faith and sets out on the path of following Christ. Nevertheless, disciples can be supremely confident that sowing seed will result in a harvest, because God is calling out a people for his name, and the Great Commission is his chosen method of producing disciples. So the more we get the message out, we don't know how God's going to use it, but God's going to use it. It's seed that doesn't fall on barren ground. God will use it. Get the message out. Tell others. The fruit of our labor and sufferings now will bring joy in glory. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You plant the seed of the gospel, and in heaven you will reap the joys of your sowing. The sheaves are those who have come to Christ because you sowed the gospel. That's what those gospel tracts are back there to do. Pass those out to people. Share with them about your faith. Share with them what Christ has done in your life. Tell people about, read those tracts, and then witness to people, and just use the words that are found in the tract, how you can share the gospel. The fruit of our labor. The 12 apostles are missionaries sent by Jesus Christ to publish salvation to sinners. Their missionary field was at first limited to the land of Judea. But after the enlargement of the commission and their persecution in Judea, the field became the world. The commission was not given to the disciples in their apostolic capacity, nor ministerial capacity, but it was given to them through the Lord's church, so that not even an inspired apostle or all of them together ever attempted to perform a church act except as ministers or servants sent out by the church. So they understood the importance of the church. The first church was in Jerusalem. Jerusalem established churches early on. In Acts chapter 11, we find the church, it goes in Antioch. The Bible tells us here, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So the church in Antioch is started by the church in Jerusalem. Then you have in Acts chapter 13, one church births another church pursuant to the commission. After its formation, the Antioch church, in like manner to Jerusalem church, started sending out missionaries. This is where Paul and Barnabas are sent out. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. As they minister, you're in page 8, to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work there whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And what do we know about Barnabas and Paul? They established all these churches in Ephesus and Thyatira and Rome and all those nations, Colossae, and all the where all those books and letters that Paul wrote, those were different Roman cities. So the history of the Baptists contains many examples of successful disciples making disciples. The history of the true New Testament church, the Anabaptists, the Waldenses, the Albigensians, the Paulicians, the Montanists, the Donatists, and etc. Now, these different names, in another time, I'll explain how these different names are part of the line of Baptist churches, which the modern Baptists are their successors, have always been missionary-minded. Johann Unken in Germany in the 1800s made the statement, every Baptist a missionary. That is your job. That's my job. We're to become missionaries. Missionaries in your field doesn't mean you have to go overseas. It doesn't mean you have to go to another country. It doesn't mean you have to speak another language. You're a missionary in your workplace. You're a missionary in your family. Every Baptist a missionary. The history of New Testament churches supporting missionary work financially and collectively is found in Paul's statement to the church at Corinth. He says, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I rob other churches. Now, did Paul go in and steal money out of church coffers? Did he find the safe in the various churches and break into it? You know, my church, here's a funny story. Janet may remember this. I had a man in Crown of Life Baptist Church on Washington Street who came, that little statement reminds me of this gentleman. He spent most of his life in jail. He was a thief. He's up there in age, and he basically stopped being a thief, and he was living on Social Security. And he attended our church services from time to time. And you know what? Where he went the most to steal money? Churches. Because he said the churches didn't lock their safes. And you always could find a handful of money in a church safe, he said. And so he attended my church. We didn't have any money. We were on Washington Street. We didn't have any money. Yeah, we had to pick up the pennies off the front out on the street just to keep the lights on. But I robbed other churches. That's a colloquialism. It means it's not literal, okay? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. And so he was talking to this church, the Corinthians church, about how other churches were supporting him so he could go to Corinth and plant a church. We must replicate ourselves. That is the responsibility of our Lord and our responsibility to our Lord. And that's what he wants us to do, is to go out. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. It may hurt financially. It may hurt physically. We may not like how we're treated because we try to replicate ourselves. But someday there will be a day of rejoicing. Pastor James Allen Francis makes this statement. When Jesus gave his all, himself for us and to us in the holy extravagance of the cross, is it too much if he asks us to do the same thing? No man or woman amounts to anything in the kingdom. No soul ever touches even the edge of the zone of power until this lesson is learned, that Christ's business is the supreme concern of life, and that all personal considerations, however dear or important, are tributary thereto. That's tough. This is the most important thing. It's not me. It's not all about me. We live in the me generation. Me, 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 me. Been that way for decades. No, it's about Christ. How can we build his kingdom? And it's going to cost us something. It could cost us our lives. The Bible says, take up your cross and follow me.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.